It's Susie from MERP, and I am here with Nick Courtney of Agnosia. How are you?
Doing very well. How are you?
Good. You're playing tonight with a set time that got moved up pretty quick.
It would seem so, yes.
We'll roll with it. Agnosia is one of the best metal bands in town, but you don't really play here in Portland often. Is that intentional?
A lot of that has to do with the fact that my involvement with this band, even though it's been about 2 years, a lot of that time has been spent rewriting stuff. A lot of it has to do with me writing new lyrics to new material that they've come out with, and writing new lyrics for old material that they've had. So for the first several months, we were essentially woodshedding on a lot of stuff, getting ourselves prepared to hit the main circuit. And now that we're starting to play a little bit more here in town and out of town, we're focusing on trying to perform a lot more and stay in a lot less, essentially. We're still waiting on our album to be finished, and hopefully that'll be done sooner than not so that we can finally get that out to the people. And I can definitely tell you now that once that happens, we will definitely be performing a lot more often.
Obviously, the members of this band are huge metal fans. You guys have members who participate in some of the best tribute or cover bands in town. I wanted to ask you, in your opinion, is there a difference between tribute bands and cover bands?
I guess it really just depends on what context you really approach that whole scenario from. Because for me, my attitude, personally, is that if you're going out there and you're doing something that you love being part of, whether it's a tribute, cover, original, I mean, it's very commendable. As far as the difference between cover and tribute bands, that's something I've never really thought too much about. I just, me personally being part of the Made in Northwest thing and all that other stuff, I mean, we just like getting out there and rocking, and we have a lot of friends that like to show up and support us, and we're always meeting new people. So to be honest with you, I can't say that I really do know the difference. I guess typically when I think of a cover band, I think of a band that plays tributes to a whole bunch of different artists and different songs rather than what we do in Made Northwest, which is where we stick to one band, Iron Maiden. And so I guess that would be the main difference for me.
Do you notice, and what do you say to naysayers who are like, tribute bands shouldn't exist, they should play original music? Do you encounter that?
If I'm being perfectly candid with you, when I was a lot younger, I used to have a similar mindset, and a lot of that had to do with my own personal petty issues with not really doing so well as a personal musician. Because when I was a lot younger, I was all about being in original bands and just playing my heart out. But there's a lot to be learned whenever you're really striving to become a better musician. It's more than just sitting on your bed and practicing for hours every single day. It's getting out there, it's meeting people, it's networking, it's seeing other bands, especially seeing what they're capable of. Learning from them is the key. I think a lot of people have a huge problem with that. And as far as what you're asking, as to the animosity about how some people don't really like the tribute bands in here in town, I just don't see it these days, simply because recently, especially in the last year or so, I've been seeing a lot of bills where an original band will open up for a tribute band here in town. And I've been to one or two of those shows, and let me tell you, every single time I go to those places, to those shows, the energy is just off the charts, because you got a nice blend of original rock and roll or metal, and then you got something that's also a little bit familiar. To me, that's just a perfect harmonious blend of everything that this town has to offer. And it really just goes to show you that everybody here supports one another, whether they may not immediately admit it or not. Yeah, I don't really understand the animosity towards tribute bands. I guess just, like I said, for me personally, it was one of those things to where I was more or less bitter because I wanted to have bigger crowds and I wanted to appeal to a lot more people. I guess more or less I found out the hard way that it's more than just about wanting it. It's about going out and really just kind of immersing yourself in the scene to really understand what's going on around you.
I think that's a good perspective. Speaking of Made in Northwest, there's a benefit coming up on Sunday of this week for a fellow metal fan who has had a tragedy in his life.
Correct.
And the local scene has really rallied. I mean, if you look at the tribute bands that are playing that, like that, do you think it's something special in Portland that makes this community so tight, or do you think it's in every city there is a group like this?
I would say I can't really speak on behalf of other cities as far as what their scenes are like, because as far as touring goes, I've done it. I've gone out of town. I've played other cities, but as I was just saying, until you really immerse yourself and get to know what the scene is like, I don't think you'll ever truly fully understand it. I do think it's great, though, that so many people are coming together, like you said, to support such a great cause. Dan Bates is by far one of the most awesome people that I've ever worked with, and he's deserving of all of it and more. And so, yeah, it makes me extremely happy to see that so many of his friends and a lot of people I don't even know that I've even met yet are so willing to just come together for something that's positive and just kind of escape the normal negativity that you're accustomed to dealing with every single day. I think it's a great thing.
I want to talk about your vocal style. You sort of tip a hat to great vocalists of the 80s like Judas Priest, Queensryche, Iron Maiden.
Sure.
Why do you think that style of vocals has lessened and turned more like gruff and guttural? Why do you think that that has happened?
Well, that's a tough one. A lot of it obviously has to do with trends, pop culture, stuff like that. It's easy to see that even if something is perceived as being superior, over time, things change, trends change, people change, their perspectives change. So as far as why I think the norm has changed, I think just stylistically it has a lot to do with people just wanting something different, pure and simple. I hear a lot more death metal and black metal bands around town, which I have no problem with because I love death and black metal. As far as why we're not seeing so many singers as opposed to vocalists, if you get what I mean. It might just be because it's something that's easier to tackle. It might be because it's just something that someone prefers. I know that I've met a lot of people that aren't really into the clean singing, which is something I do frequently. But yeah, I think the answer I'm going to go with is just trends, perspectives. Times change. You look at the 80s, you see a lot of thrash metal bands and all those kinds of acts were on top of their game. But then in the 90s, you saw an uprise from the grunge era, of course, and so on and so forth. And so, just politics, too, I think has a little bit to do with it, because that often fuels where people are going with their music and what their lyrics are about, where their inspiration comes from. So, it's a variety of different factors, I would say.
That's a good explanation. Sometimes I wonder if because of the state of the world and politics and the frenzy that we're in with, you know, internet and stuff, sometimes I think that those vocals are more angry and maybe they are more, you know, more
sure.
prevalent now.
Sure. That makes perfect sense. That's a great way to look at it too. I remember I was watching an interview with Marilyn Manson and he was talking about how, I mean, this is a long time ago, but he was saying in an interview about how in his music, he cusses a lot. He's swearing a lot. But it's not the kind of language that he would typically use in normal conversation with friends, family, etc. And he said that it purely has everything to do with the message he's getting out, about sending a message, about his music having meaning. So I think there's a lot to ponder about that.
Yeah. Can you talk about American Idol? Can we talk about
sure,
that?
Sure, yeah. Okay. The whole thing is out in the open.
Awesome.
Cat's out of the bag.
So I wanted to ask you, what made you decide to do it?
Well, I didn't even know that they were coming to town until a fellow Portland musician, my friend Alex Seaton, who is a great drummer, excellent drummer.
Used to be American Roulette.
Correct.
Love
absolutely.
Him.
Ty Terrius, American Roulette, and the list goes on. Great guy, great friend. He was the one that actually sent me something over social media saying, hey, look, they're coming to town in August. That was last year. I said, you know what, man, I might have to check that out. And I'll be honest with you, at first I was thinking, nah, I probably won't do this. But what happened was, it was a perfect coincidence. Agnosia had a show on a Wednesday evening, much like tonight. And so at work, I got the day off. The Thursday, I got that off just because I didn't want to play a show and then have to go into work all feeling like crap. But as it turns out, the audition for American Idol happened to fall on that Thursday. So I wake up a little hungover and feeling a little hazy, and I remembered, oh yeah, that's happening today. And so I showed up around 11 o'clock in the morning and stood in line for 6.5 hours in the middle of an August hot, sunny day. And
did you go by yourself?
I did, yes. Girlfriend was working, and so I was just, like I said, I woke up after the night after a show, or the morning after a show, and I headed straight there. Lots of people, lots of camera crews running around, all the news stations running around. I got to talk to one of them. That was kind of funny. And yeah, but it was, that's how I found out about it. It was my buddy Alex found out, and he kind of forwarded the message to me, and I went and did my thing.
So it wasn't like, I mean, it was a spur-of-the-moment thing, and sort of serious. I mean, it wasn't like you went there to joke around or anything like sure. that. It was serious. Were you nervous when you auditioned?
Part of me was at first, just because I know that throughout the years, they've had some incredible talent come through there. I mean, some of these people I've seen on this show, I couldn't hope to do what they do in a million years, much less, you know, on a hungover Thursday morning. But, yeah, I was a little bit nervous at first, just because I didn't know what to expect. But after being there for a little while, the nice thing was that even though I was in line for so long, when you're standing next to the same people for that long, eventually you start kind of carrying on a conversation with them. And so I met some really cool people, and that kind of helped settle my nerves a little bit. Ultimately, I wasn't really too worried about anything, because I went in with the notion that I'm the metal guy. I'm not going to get anywhere with this. They're just going to laugh at me, whatever, so.
But the truth is, you made it through.
Yeah, surprisingly, I get up to the booth after standing in line for 6.5 hours. The guy asked me, okay, so what you going to sing? I said, I'm going to sing you some Iron Maiden. And he kind of looks at me, and he says, you know, no one's ever done that before. And I thought to myself on the spot, I thought, that's either a really good thing or that's a very bad thing.
I saw the tape, but I can't remember what song it was. Acapella, what song was it?
It was Wasted Years Sweet. By Iron Maiden. Yeah, I figured that's one of those songs from Maiden that Bruce just kind of goes right into it. There's no build up, there's no nothing. It's just, he just kind of comes out of the gate swinging for that. So I said, oh, okay, I know the lyrics really well. Might as well just go with that one. I didn't really think too much about it because, like I said, I didn't expect anything. I figured I was just going to go there just for kicks and giggles and have a good time.
Interesting experience.
Exactly. You know, I didn't expect anything. And so when I got up there and I did my thing, it's really funny to me. Just I'll try to be quick. Basically, the way it works is once you get to the front of the line, they separate people into groups of four. They bring you to these individual tents, which there were about 4 or 5 of them. And it's not the celebrity judges like you see on the show. It's just producers of the show. And then once you get into groups of four, you go up to this judge, you give them your paperwork, and then one by one out of the four, they'll have you step forward, and they'll do their audition. So that's what I did up there in my Iron Maiden. And so what happens is, after all four people are done, you step back. And so this, I mean, from my personal experience, the guy's sifting through paperwork and all that. And so the group before me, the group of four people, that person said no to all four of them. I said, ugh, tough crowd. But we get up there, I do my thing, and all four of us are finished. And the first thing he does is he names the two female contestants on the outside. So I'm in the middle next to this other guy, and he names those two. I'm thinking, okay, he's going to tell them that, you know, he likes them, and they're going to... But then he says, well, thank you for coming today, but unfortunately it's not what we're really looking for, but thanks for trying anyways. Well, you know, good luck to you. And so he dismisses them too, but he doesn't say anything to me at first. I said, no, no way. You're not about to tell me that. And so he says, you know, first of all, Nick, I really like what you do, and we've never really been inclined to see this sort of thing before, so I want to advance you, and I want to see what else you can bring. I said, ah, okay. So he gives me the yellow ticket, and at first I'm being all cordial with him. I'm shaking his hand, thanking him for the opportunity, being nice. But then as soon as I step away from that table, like I said, I had been in the sun for 6.5 hours. I was a little delirious. I was just happy that something good came out of it. I start to walk away, and I just start cackling at everybody that was behind me. Like, ah! So it was kind of funny, a little silly, but... it was still cool, and I went inside, which was, that was reward enough to just get out of the sun, but yeah, it was really cool, and from there, they have you sing a second time to a camera, and what they do is they send that footage to one of the executives, and from there, then they will decide whether or not they want you to fly out to one of the main locations where the celebrity judges go, and so...
Do they pay for it?
They did not. They
pay for your own flight? I wondered about that.
Yeah, that's the reason why when they finally did call me back saying, yes, we would like to invite you to come to the judges, I said, oh, wow. They said, here are the locations you can go to, and the closest one was Hollywood. So I said, okay, well, I'm going to go with that one because in the instance that I can't afford a flight or something happens with that, at the very least I have a backup plan, I can drive there. And so that's where we ended up going, was Hollywood for the official audition.
Did you go by yourself or did you take Agnosia with you and book shows down there too?
When I went for the American Idol audition in front of the judges, I went with just my girlfriend. And the thing is, in the paperwork that you sign and all that, when you're first doing this whole thing with American Idol, there's actually some small details attached that talk about if you want to audition as a band. And I was never necessarily opposed to the idea of Agnosia going on and doing our thing as far as just enjoying the experience. But I figured if I had any shot whatsoever of even getting remotely anywhere on the show, I was going to have to do some covers or something, just because it's logistics, it's marketing, pure and simple. And plus, it was easier that way, too. Plus, I think some of the guys had something going on around the time that I had to go anyway, so that's just the way it worked out. It was a great vacation, though, let me tell you, being down there.
And so, ultimately, one of the three judges said yes, and the other two said no?
Yeah, they actually were really nice. They were really kind. I went in there and I sang The Ripper from Judas Priest. And kind of a funny story behind that, too. The day that they called me at work and they said, yeah, we'd like to invite you to come sing for the judges, I said, oh, wow. And then right there on the spot, she says, what song do you want to do for the judges? I hadn't thought about it at all because I didn't think I was going to make it. I thought they were just going to laugh and say, oh, metal guy, whatever. So she asked me, the first thing that came to mind, Ripper, Judas Priest. She goes, okay, well, we're going to have to look into that one because we might have to get the rights and everything cleared for it. But just try to focus on a few more songs that you might want to do because we want you to be prepared for a total of three. I said, okay. And at some point, they send you a list of songs that you can do that are already cleared, which means you can just pick those and they don't have to do any emails, they don't have to send anybody anything, it's just you're good to do those. So I said to myself, I'm gonna make it easier for me and everybody else. I'm just gonna pick three from this list because that makes it easier. But then all of a sudden I got an email out of nowhere one day from the same person I talked to originally saying, oh, I looked into that song for you, The Ripper, yeah, it's good, you can sing that. I said, oh, well, I guess I'm doing that one.
That takes a ridiculous amount of vocal talent to do that song.
Oh, I mean, I love that
Bruce
song.
Dickinson too. I mean, I've heard you sing before. It's pretty impressive.
I appreciate it.
Are
Thank you
glad that you did American Idol?
Absolutely. Wouldn't take it back for a sec. Even though I ultimately got a no, it was a 1 out of 3 vote. It was still cool just to see what things were like behind the cameras, seeing how much dedication and hard work each and every one of those crew members puts into their jobs every single day. We're talking 13, 14 hours a day for these people. And you don't hear any complaints out of them. You see nothing but smiles, and they're just enjoying it. They're busting their humps, just trying to make it all happen. It's very, very admirable stuff.
I just have three more for you, and then you've got to get back in. Let's see. You recently came back from NAMM. Did you go?
I actually did not go to
NAMM. You
did
not? That was the rest of your band?
That was Jimmy and the other guys, okay. Yeah.
Do you think that's important for at least some members to go to NAMM nowadays?
To be honest with you, the only things I know about NAMM are from what my buddies that have gone there have shown me. I know that there's a lot of guitars that you can look at and demo. I know that there's typically a lot of rock stars that you can go up and meet and greet. That's honestly about all I know about it.
So it's probably just networking and maybe sponsorships,
sure,
and that type of thing.
Sure, absolutely. And I know that when Jimmy goes down there, from what I understand, he's typically spreading the word for Agnosia, and he's trying to get the ball rolling with certain people. And so, to answer your question, sure, it definitely couldn't hurt, I don't think, being down there and just enjoying the experience in general, but having the opportunity to talk with these people and get things going, yeah, absolutely. I think it's a great thing that he's able to go down there and make things happen, sure.
So Jimmy, I don't know if you'll be able to answer this, or if you will answer this, but Jimmy plays guitar and Agnosia, but he plays drums for Alive and Dead, which is the Slayer tribute band.
Correct.
I think he has some other projects too, but just talking about those two, is he a better guitar player or drummer?
Well, he's pretty damn good at both, I will say that. He's definitely, when it comes to guitar, he's got a very unique writing style. The riffs and everything that are in Agnosia's music, I like them because they border on being traditional, but they also have their own flair to them. he implements all these weird time signatures that the first couple times you hear it, you think, oh man, that's all over the place. I don't know if I can get a rhythm or a groove out of that. But for certain songs, particularly for me, there's a song called Guard the Graveyard that we do. It took me a long time to kind of get the timing down, especially on the chorus, but once I actually heard it more and more and more, I became familiarized with it. It was one of those things to where, oh yeah, I can totally get into this. But to answer your question, is he a better guitarist or drummer? I think he's been playing drums longer, so he's definitely got more experience in that realm. I've seen him do both. I mean, he's great. He can sing too, so I think he's better at whatever he wants to be better at.
He looks like he breathes music.
Oh, I mean, sure.
He looks like he's the happiest when he's playing music.
He's been around. He's been around doing his thing for a really long time. It's amazing to me because even to this day, I'm still telling people about how every single person that I've known from around here in the metal scene in Portland, every single person I've ever known has known about this guy for years before I ever known him. So to this day, even if I haven't talked to somebody in a long time, even if it's somebody that I don't think would know who he is in a million years, all I do have to do is just mention his name once. And they say, oh yeah, Jimmy? Yeah, yeah, we go way back. It seems like it's been everybody. There have been times where all I've had to say was Littlefield. And they said, oh yeah, 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 totally. Yeah, from back in the body bag days, right? Yeah, yeah, totally. And I think that's just so funny because it's like, how did it take me so long to meet this dude if everybody else knows who he is?
My last question is, you mentioned earlier that you guys are working on new material. Do you think in 2018 we'll see the release?
Well, yes, I do. Simply because the recording aspect of everything has been done since around, I'm going to say, July of last year. So a lot of it has been just tinkering around with mixes, trying to get the best overall sound out of everything to make sure that we provide the best product possible for everybody who's even remotely interested in us. We want to make sure that we make a good impression, mainly just because we sincerely appreciate all the support, such as you guys here in MERP and just countless others that have not only donated their time, but just also their overall involvement to what we do. It's really awesome to see what a lot of people are willing to do. And so, to answer your question, yes, you'll definitely see some new material from us in 2018.
Awesome. Have a good show tonight.
Thank you so much. Appreciate the interview.